everyone. Thank you for joining us. You're listening to Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm your host, Lisa Hollinger. At the beginning of the month of March, Elder David A. Bednar gave a fireside to the young adults of the church, and he told a story about when he and his wife hosted Elder and Sister Maxwell at BYU, Idaho, before Elder Maxwell was to speak there at a devotional. And earlier in 1997, Elder Bednar explains that Elder Maxwell had undergone 46 days and nights of chemotherapy for leukemia. And Elder Maxwell spoke in the April General Conference shortly thereafter, and I'm going to play a clip from that here in just a minute. But Elder Bednar asked Elder Maxwell what lessons he learned through this illness. And Elder Maxwell responded, quote, "I have learned that not shrinking is more important than surviving," end of quote. And I've been thinking about that a lot since I read that and as I've been preparing to talk about it for this episode of Mormon Channel Daily. And I've thought to myself, what are situations where I might want to shrink, but I shouldn't shrink, and I need to fulfill what it is that Heavenly Father has asked me to do? And I think that this applies to us in so many different situations. It can apply as we're raising our children and maybe we're exhausted or we need to teach them something or we need to spend time with them and maybe we want to quit or give up at whatever it is we're doing. But the point is that we need to push on. And the perfect example of that is our Savior. And we don't really have very many scriptures that talk about the Savior's atonement from his perspective, but there is one that's incredibly powerful, and that is found in Doctrine and Covenants, section 19, verse 18. And this is what it says, quote, "Which suffering caused myself, even God, the greatest of all, to tremble because of pain and to bleed at every pore, and to suffer both body and spirit, and would that I might not drink the bitter cup and shrink," end of quote. And the part that's so wonderful about that is the Savior himself says that he would that he might not drink the bitter cup, but yet he did it. He did it and he fulfilled his mission to the earth and he triumphed. And not only that, but because he did that, he knows how to succor or to run to and help us when we're facing our own bitter cups. And he knows how to help us to not shrink and to stay strong, even in the midst of our trials and challenges. So now coming full circle, I want to play this quote from Elder Maxwell that he gave in General Conference. It's called "Apply the Atoning Blood of Christ," and it was October 1997. It was shortly after his treatments in chemotherapy, and I'm going to play that for you now.
"Next, as we confront our own lesser trials and tribulations, we too can plead with the Father, just as Jesus did, that we might not shrink," meaning to retreat or to recoil. Not shrinking is much more important than surviving. Moreover, partaking of a bitter cup without becoming bitter is likewise part of the emulation of Jesus.
I like that part about where he talks about partaking of the bitter cup without becoming bitter is how we can emulate our Savior. And I really liked that because I think sometimes life might deal us something that's really bitter and we have to try and drink it or partake of it without becoming bitter ourselves. And sometimes that's easier said than done. But we have the perfect example in our Savior of someone who did that. And there's one principle that I wanted to share today. And, you know, I pray about what to talk about on these episodes of Mormon Channel Daily, and I get some pretty direct guidance. And so I am hoping that what I'm saying is touching someone out there who's listening, even though I'm recording in this studio mostly by myself. I know that there's someone out there that's listening, and I hope that this is benefiting to you. But the principle that I wanted to share is the principle of the fourth watch. And it's taken from my favorite religion teacher while I was in college, and his name is S. Michael Wilcox. And this is how he explained it. The Hebrew day is divided into 12 hours, starting at 6 a.m. in the morning. And the Hebrew nights have four watches. The first watch is from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. The second watch is from 9 p.m. to midnight. The third watch is from midnight to 3 a.m., and the fourth watch is from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Now that we have that explanation behind it, here's the story. The Savior and his disciples had been together teaching, and he sent his disciples onto a ship onto the Sea of Galilee while he went into a mountain to pray. As the disciples are on the ship, the scriptures say in Mark 6:48 that, quote, the wind was contrary, end of quote. And so they're rowing, and it's a long time. It says that they rowed for 25 to 30 furlongs, and that's in John 6:19. And one furlong is 220 yards. So that means they rowed about 65 to 70 football fields into the wind and the storm. They are exhausted. What they don't know is as they are rowing in the boat, the Savior is on the shore watching them. The scripture says in Mark 6:48, quote, and he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them. End of quote. In this talk on tape that I was listening to by Michael Wilcox, he says that if the disciples could have chosen, they would probably have preferred him to come in the first watch. And I know for me particularly, when I'm in the midst of a trial or something is horribly wrong and I'm praying for God to send relief, I would prefer that he comes and answers my prayers in the first watch, or in other words, right away, at the very beginning when I'm feeling desperate or things are going really rough. But the point that Michael Wilcox makes is to remember that we worship a fourth watch God. He didn't come to his disciples when they were toiling in the Sea of Galilee until the fourth watch. And likewise with us, he may or may not come right at the beginning when we pray. We may have to pray for a long time, and our fourth watch might last for quite some time. But the good news is, in all of that, that in that scripture, Mark 6:48, is that it says, and he saw them toiling. Our Savior and our Father in heaven see us and know us perfectly, and they know when we're struggling. And when we pray, we can know that they're listening and they're watching and that they love us. But we have to remember that sometimes those prayers might not be answered in our timetable. And that principle of the fourth watch is talked about by Michael Wilcox in a talk on compact disc called The Fourth Watch. And that's from Deseret Book and was released in 2004. Another one of my favorite scriptures about the Savior is from the book of Acts. And this is from Acts 10:38. And it says about the Savior that he, quote, went about doing good, end of quote. So I love to share feel-good stories about people who, like the Savior, are going about doing good. And the story that I wanted to end with today is a story about Saul Khan. And several years ago, Saul was a hedge fund investor working in Boston. And in 2004, his seventh grade cousin was struggling with algebra. And so he agreed to teach her remotely. So he posted videos to YouTube. And a funny thing started happening. He started getting emails from people who started watching these videos, expressing their gratitude. And he had so many interest in people wanting to watch these videos that in 2009, he quit his job and worked from a desk in his closet full time to develop what is now called the Khan Academy. Sometime after that, he found out that Bill Gates was using the videos to teach his children, and now they have more than 4 million students who watch these videos about a variety of subjects such as math, physics, biology, history, astronomy, and medicine. He's created so many videos that if you watch just one video a day, it would take you more than 8 years to watch them. And this is from CBSNews.com, 60 Minutes, an article called Khan Academy, The Future of Education, and it's from September 2nd, 2012. And I don't know about you, but I was one who initially struggled with pre-algebra when I was in seventh grade. I still remember that. And what an amazing thing for this man to create all of these videos that are available to kids so that they can learn and grow and develop in their education in a non-traditional way. In addition to that, what I like about this story is that it began from starting small. He was serving someone else, and then it just spiraled and grew into something even bigger. And you never know how serving someone can benefit their life or entirely change yours. And that's the story I want to leave you with today. And in closing, thank you for joining us. I'm grateful that you are with us on yet another episode of Mormon Channel Daily. Feel free to email me any comments you might have at mormonchanneldaily@ldschurch.org. And this has been another episode of Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And in closing, the song of the day that I want to leave you with is called Have I Done Any Good? And it's featuring Craig Larson. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Have a great day and a wonderful weekend. And I look forward to being with you again on Monday.